So in this lesson, in this scripture, I see four things. I see motivation, the motivation to worship. I see the manner of worship. I see the mechanism for worship, and I see the manifestation of worship. First, let's look at the motivation to worship. He says, by the mercies of God. You see, God's mercies are everything He has given us that we don't deserve. It's eternal love, eternal grace, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. It's everlasting peace, eternal joy, eternal life. It's saving faith, it's comfort, it's strength, it's wisdom, it's hope, it's patience, it's kindness, it's honor, it's glory, it's righteousness, it's security, it's forgiveness, it's reconciliation, justification, sanctification, liberty, intercession, and a whole bunch more. Amen? That's what God has given us. As His people, when He saved you, He gave you all them things. That's called grace.
Thank you for listening to the Calhoun Baptist Church podcast with Pastor Mark Abney. Preaching from the book of Romans chapter 12, Brother Mark delivered his sermon titled, What's Up with Worship? And now, Brother Mark.
Verses 1 and 2, entitled this message, What's up with worship? What's up with worship? If you would stand for the reading of God's Word. Romans 12, beginning in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Father God, bring us to the place where we worship you this morning in spirit and truth. As you look now, Lord, you look upon our hearts. Not upon the outward appearance, not upon our actions, not upon our words, but what comes out of our heart, Lord. Lord, may we be pure in heart. Help us to be right with you, Lord. You've made every way that we may be free of our sin. So, Lord, this morning I pray that we would come clean. I pray that we would be holy before you, that we might be able to worship you in spirit and truth. All these things I pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. As I was looking at this verse, in this verse, I see all the elements of worship. Have you ever been beseeched? You know, Paul starts out, he says, I beseech you, brethren. He's beseeching us. And to beseech means to beg. Have you ever been begged? Or have you ever been the beseecher? The one doing the begging. Paul is begging us as Christians. He says, I beseech you, brothers, by the mercies of God. If you underline things in your Bible, you can underline all of this, verses chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Or you can underline these important words, and I think these are the really important words in there, is the mercies of God. We're going to talk about that. Presenting your body as a living sacrifice, we're going to talk about that. Holy and acceptable. We're going to talk about that. Being transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're going to talk about that. And finally, we're going to talk about to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, I think as Christians, if we truly want to be in the center of God's will, then we could use what was just mentioned here in order to get to that place. And I can't think of a better place as a Christian to be than in the center of God's will. Amen? That is the best place that you can be, bar nothing. Whether you're in the good times or in the bad, whether you're in trials and tribulations or you're on top of that mountain, the best place that we can be in life is in the center of God's will. What if our Sunday morning worship of God looked like this? We arrive at church 2 hours early. Y'all are already starting to look at me with one eye, giving me that bad eye. You look like deer in the headlights when I said that. We arrive at church 2 hours before it starts, and we pay $25 to park. Oh, now it's really getting serious, isn't it? Yeah? You say, I don't know if I'm going to, I'll find a different church to go to. Well, while we're out in the parking lot before the door is actually open to the worship center, we just visit from car to car in the parking lot, and we might even bring a barbecue grill or something and fix some food for ourselves while we're out there waiting, some breakfast, getting ready for the worship time. Just before the door opens, we form this long line, and we wait for about 20 minutes to get in the worship center. And when the doors finally open, each worshiper pays somewhere between $75 and $250, depending on where your seat is in the worship center. And in the worship center, the best seats are in the front, not in the back, like it is normally. In the worship center, the highest priced seats are in the very front row. And so then would be the $250 seats. And if you want to sit in the back in the nosebleed section, you can sit back there for about $75. The worship center has no roof. It's an open-air worship center. And there's no heating or air conditioning. It's wintertime, and we all file into the church, and it's around 17 degrees outside. But we're comfortable. We have our wraps on us, and we're comfortable. And the temperature's around 17. The center is crowded with the worship center is crowded with long rows of seats and narrow aisles. You can't get out of your seat without the whole aisle standing up so that you can pass in front of everybody to get to the outside aisle, which only about one or two people are able to pass in that aisle because we have to pack more seats in there to get more people in. Because everybody's wanting to come. We don't have any more room. In fact, we have to sell tickets to come to church, to the worship center, because there are so many people wanting to come, we have to limit the number of people that can actually come in. All the folks gathered in the worship center have on godly apparel. And they have on logos and colors. And they might look
something like this.
You'd come to church and you'd have on something like this, some godly apparel. You might even have on a Jesus do-rag, you know, with a big J up there, and you would be ready for worship. You'd come into the worship center looking like this with godly apparel on, and you would be ready for worship. All the folks gathered would be like this. And many worshipers near the front, the ones that paid the big bucks to get on the front row, they might actually be there with no shirt on at 17 degrees and a letter painted on their chest that when they all stood up together, that letter, that might say, "We love Jesus," as they all stood up together, one person at a time, spelling that out. One side of the worship center chants, "We love Jesus, how about you?" And then the other side chants back, "We love Jesus, how about you?" And then this side says, "We love Jesus, how about you?" And this side says, "We love Jesus, how about you?" And then going on at the same time in the worship center, this is before everything actually begins, the crowd, they actually stand up and then they sit down all at once in a line, making this thing like called a wave going around and around the worship center. And this continues until the worship actually begins. And the first part of the service lasts about an hour and a half. And so does the last half of service. So you're usually there about 3 to 3.5 hours. Everyone gets about 10 minutes and a half in between services to use the bathroom. And throughout the service, there are many, many celebrations as people give their lives to Jesus. When this happens, the worshipers all cheer and they beat their chest like this. And they jump up and down and they growl like a lion. And these celebrations take place every so often. And there's this big megatron in the middle of the worship center, and it keeps track of the number of people that give their lives to Jesus. And then it shows them giving their lives to Jesus over and over in slow motion instant replay. Well, the crowd goes wild and celebrates each time they see it. And this continues on and on throughout the whole worship time. This goes on for some 3 to 3.5 hours. And with the pre-worship activities, the whole ceremony lasts about 5 hours. Can you imagine being part of such a worship? And then the next week, they all return and bring friends to do it all over again if they can buy a ticket. Isn't that something? And then think about how we worship. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Really? It's amazing. So in this lesson, in this scripture, I see 4 things. I see motivation, the motivation to worship. I see the manner of worship. I see the mechanism for worship, and I see the manifestation of worship. First, let's look at the motivation to worship. He says, by the mercies of God. You see, God's mercies are everything he has given us that we don't deserve. It's eternal love, eternal grace, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. It's everlasting peace, eternal joy, eternal life. It's saving faith, it's comfort, it's strength, it's wisdom, it's hope, it's patience, it's kindness, it's honor, it's glory, it's righteousness, it's security, it's forgiveness, it's reconciliation, justification, sanctification, liberty, intercession, and a whole bunch more. Amen? That's what God has given us. As his people, when he saved you, he gave you all them things. That's called grace. You didn't do anything to deserve that. And God just lavished them on you. He lavished them on you. And you are now taken into his family and adopted in, and you are part of the family of the great Creator, the Almighty One, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who made everything that was ever made. You're in his family. You're one of his children now. Wow. And so in Ephesians 2, 4 through 10, it says, but God, rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even though we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ, and by grace you are saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus to demonstrate in the coming ages the surpassing wealth of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. That's right before that verse that says, for you have been saved by grace through faith, that not of yourselves, lest anyone should boast. It comes right before that, and it tells us all this good stuff that God gave us when he saved us. Amen? Lamentations 3, 22 through 23 says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. They are made new every morning. Oh, we didn't just get this one-time offer of all them mercies of God. He makes them new to us every morning. Every day we wake up, he lavishes them on us again. His mercies. As we got up this morning, I looked out, there was a heavy, dense fog. Those of you who got up normal time, those of you who are late risers probably didn't get to witness that. But as the sun come up and as the temperature started to rise, you couldn't help but just think, you know, here we are still in winter, and it's going to be maybe, 65, 70 degrees today, amen? It's going to be nice out. Isn't it great to be alive? It's just wonderful. Every morning in our lives, God's mercies are renewed. The knowledge and understanding of these incredible gifts motivate us to pour forth our praise and thanksgiving. In other words, we worship God because God is good all the time. All the time. Amen. Amen. God is good. His love endures forever. So what is the manner of our worship? Well, the manner of our worship in this verse says that we present our bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Presenting your bodies means giving all of yourself to God. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Him I give it all. How about you? You know what the universal sign of surrender is? Yeah. You know, if you come and you held a gun at me and I went like this, that means I surrender. Yeah, I'm yours. Well, that's what we ought to all be doing whenever we're worshiping God. We all just be saying, I'm holding up my hands because I just surrender all. Every part of my life, I give you. I give you all that I am. I'm not going to hold back anything. You can have your will and your way with me. In reference to our bodies here, it means all of our human faculties, all of our humanness, our hearts, our minds, our hands, our thoughts, our attitudes, are all to be presented to God because He is the one who saved us and bought us and redeemed us. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. In other words, we're to give Him control of these things and turn them over to Him just as a literal sacrifice was given totally to God on the altar. So what's that saying? It's saying get up off your blessed assurance, crawl up on the altar and get right with God and give yourself to God and be a living sacrifice that's holy and acceptable to Him. So how do we get holy? How are we going to be holy so we're acceptable? Through the blood of Jesus. Because of what Jesus did on that cross of Calvary, He forgives our sins as far as the east is from the west. And so we can step into the Holy of Holies sin-free and righteous, clothed in the blood and the cloth that Jesus gave us in His robe of whiteness. And God don't see our sin. He sees His Son, Jesus Christ, and He allows us to go into the Holy of Holies and talk to Him on a one-to-one level. Isn't that awesome? What an awesome privilege that you and I have to go and talk to the Creator of the universe. We should lay down our life for God because He laid down His life for us and showered us with all of His mercies. So what is the mechanism for worship? In this passage, the Word tells us by renewing your mind. That's the mechanism. We renew our minds daily by cleansing it of the world's wisdom and replacing it with true wisdom that comes from God. I've coined an acronym for this. This is called spiritual replacement therapy, SRT. Spiritual replacement therapy. And as Christians, that's what we should be doing. We must replace our thoughts with God's thoughts. We must replace our ways with God's ways. We must replace our faith with the faith that God has and wants us to have. We must replace our value with the value that God places on our lives. We must replace our capabilities with the possibilities that God has. With God, all things are possible. Amen? Amen. So we have to start thinking God's way and put away our worldly thinking because God wants us to renew our mind spiritually. That renewing comes by washing your mind in the Word of God. So reading the Word of God and taking the Word of God and putting it in play in your life helps you to do this spiritual replacement therapy. Emotions are a wonderful thing, but unless they're shaped by a mind that's saturated with God's Word, they can be destructive and out of control. Where the mind goes, the will follows, and so does the emotions. For out of the heart flows all the issues of life, the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 2:16 tells us that we have the mind of Christ, not the emotions of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We have this renewing that's going on in our mind. There's only one way to renew our mind, and that's by the Word of God. It's the truth, the knowledge of the Word of God, which is to say the knowledge of the mercies of God, that we're back where we began. Back to them mercies that God give us. To know the truth, to believe the truth, to hold the convictions about the truth, to love the truth, will naturally result in true worship. If convictions followed by affection that responds to truth, not only is there external stimuli, but it comes from the inside. You see, from the heart comes all the issues of life. Out of the heart. And that song we just sang, God isn't looking at our outside, is He? He's looking into our heart. He's looking on the inside. He's looking at the desire of your heart. He's looking at what drives you. And true worship is God-centered. People tend to get caught up on where they should worship or what music they should sing or how their worship looks to other people. Focusing on these things misses the whole point. Jesus tells us in John 4:24 that true worshipers will worship God in spirit and truth. That means we worship from the heart. We worship God in spirit and truth, and we worship from our heart because we love Him. And we worship from our heart because all that He's done for us. And out of our respect and love and admiration of who God is to us personally, we worship Him. Worship is an expression. It expresses itself both vertically and horizontally in the life of a true believer. It's not limited to one act. The song says, I'll bring you more than a song, because a song's not what you have required. He requires our worship. And it's also important to know that worship is reserved only for God. Only He is worthy, not any of His servants, not anything that He has made, not anything that we have made. None of that's worthy of our worship. Only God is worthy of our worship in Revelation 19:10. We are not to worship saints or prophets or statues or angels or false gods or Mother Mary. We are only to worship God, the one true God. We should also not be worshiping and expect for a return from that gratitude. Worship is done for God because He deserves it and His pleasure alone. True worship is an outward expression of what's in the heart on the inside. Worshiping out of obligation is displeasing to God, and it's completely in vain. And we see that in the story of Cain and Abel. They both brought offerings to the Lord, but God was only pleased with Abel's offerings because Cain brought his offering out of obligation. And Abel brought his first lambs from his flock because he loved the Lord. And we see horizontal worship, and we should exercise our gifts. In Romans 12:3, it says, have humility and exercise your faith. And in Romans 12:4-6, we're just going right on down through that chapter. You see, that verses 1 and 2 is just a preface for that whole chapter that's following. And you can relate all this back to them first two verses that Paul talked about. He says in 12:4-6, it's being part of the body of Christ and exercising the gift that God has given you. This is the horizontal part of it. In Romans 12:9-12, he says to love others. This is the horizontal. Love others and serve the Lord together. Rejoice in hope, endure in suffering, and persist in prayer. He calls us all to come together and to be one together in unity. In Romans 12:13-21, he says, meet the needs of the saints, bless persecutors, rejoice with the rejoicing, weep with the weepers, live in harmony with each other. Do not be haughty or conceited. Do not retaliate. Live in peace with everyone as best you can. Give drink and food to those who are your enemies, and fight evil with good. Remember what we studied about Solomon a few weeks ago? Solomon, the richest man who ever lived, the wisest man who ever lived. He had everything. But then at the end, in Ecclesiastes, he says it all boils down to this. Love God and do what he told you to do. It all boils down to that. You remember what Jesus said? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. We see vertical and horizontal worship in that sentence. So that's part of our story, part of the horizontal manifestation of this passage is that we share Jesus in our story with other people. Thank you, Shirley, for sharing your testimony. It's also that we minister to other people in the horizontal way. We love others. And it, in that passage of Scripture, it talked about loving your enemies. And it says this, that if you love your enemies and you do good things to your enemies, it is like heaping coals of kindness on their head. That it's hard on them because they don't know why you love them. It's like they say, we don't know why you do this. It's kind of like the doctor thing. We've never seen this before. And that gives you an opportunity to share your story with them. And if they found who Jesus is in their life and they come to know him, they would no longer be an enemy, amen? They would be a child of the king too. So we see this manifestation horizontally as we focus on the vertical. So we have to get right with God. We have to crawl up on that altar and we have to confess our sins and get right with God and come clean so that our vertical's good. And when our vertical's good, then our horizontal will work. And we can worship God vertically as we come into this place and praise him for who he is. And we can worship God horizontally as we leave this place and tell others our story. Amen. In conclusion, as Phyllis comes to play and Victoria comes to lead us, we should not come to church because we're supposed to. That's not the reason we're here. We should come to church because we love God and we want to worship him for who he is and what he's done for us. So we see this motivation is in God's mercies, all that he's lavished upon us. We see that the manner of our worship is presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. We see that the mechanism for our worship is renewing our minds, or this spiritual replacement therapy, spiritual replacement therapy, replacing the worldview with God's view. And we see the manifestation of our worship taking place in this vertical relationship with God the Father and horizontally loving others as we love ourselves. True worship is the acknowledgement of God in all his power and glory in everything we do. It's the highest form of praise and worship, and that highest form is obedience. Obedience to God. In fact, we could just go back to Solomon. He said, what? Do what God told you to do. Love God and do what he tells you. That's what it's all about. The song, Matt Redman penned them words that we sang. He says, I'll bring you more than a song, because a song in itself is not what you have required. You search deeper, though the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing that I've made it. It's not about me. It's not about coming in here. It's not about my actions. It's not me coming here because of obligation. It's me coming here because it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. To worship God, we must know God, and we cannot be ignorant of him. Worship is glorifying and exalting God and showing our loyalty and admiration to God our Father. Jesus told the woman at the well that now is the time when God is looking for worshipers who will worship in spirit and truth. Are you one of them? Do you want to worship God out of obligation, Or do you want to worship God in spirit and truth because of who He is and all that He's done for you? Would you stand with me and pray? Father God, this morning, you've spoke to us through your word. And through your word, you've taught us how to worship you. Lord, I pray that we would look at your word, we would take it into our heart, we would ruminate upon it, and Lord, then we would have action. And Lord, that we would not just be hearers of the word, but we would be doers. Lord, that we would not just look in the mirror and see what we're supposed to do, but Lord, we would fix what's wrong. Lord, I pray this morning that if we're not right with you, if our vertical relationship's not right, that this morning would be a time when we would get right with you. Lord, I pray this morning if there's one person here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day of salvation, that they would ask you to come into their heart, that they would say, Lord, I believe that you are God's Son, that you died on the cross for my sins, and I have sin in my life, and I want you to cleanse me of that sin and take that away from me, and I want you to take me to heaven someday. And if you would pray that prayer this morning, Jesus says in his word that he will save you and take you to heaven, and that he will send his Holy Spirit to come and live inside you. Lord, I pray this morning as believers that we would think about why we worship and what worship's about. And it's all about you, Jesus. Help us to be the kind of worshipers you are looking for, those that worship in spirit and truth. This morning, Lord, I pray if there's one decision that needs to be made, that it would be made before we leave this place. And all these things we pray in Christ's name. In Christ's name, amen.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we'd ask you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe you died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in a local church and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to email our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.